Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
A really important Monday daily video. We've got a video showing violence on the Democratic side of the election issues right now. I want you to see it. 2.5 million people watched it. It's on Citizens Free Press, and we unfortunately are having a very difficult time posting it right now. The reason it's critical to me to post it is when I was watching the various news programs yesterday, I noticed that every program bashed the Republicans, really bashed the Republicans. And I just wanted to show that the Democrats are just as guilty as the Republicans are in terms of inciting violence. Got to do that. Jimmy?
Yeah, I think that video's it's an RNC project, RNC Twitter feed for RNC Research. And, you know, just look up RNC Research and you'll see what they post. But basically, it's just showing it starts off with the former attorney general under Obama, Obama's wingman, Eric Holder, basically saying, hey, when they go low, kick them. And then it goes on to Maxine Waters and it shows Nancy Pelosi basically asking why we don't have more riots. You know, it's just consistent with this manipulation and use of activists in order to push violence in order to achieve political ends. Yeah. That's what we're watching. We're seeing it in real time all around the nation.
Yeah, it's interesting because right now people are under the impression that it's all right-wing conservatives that are instigating violence, and that's really not true.
No, it's a complete lie. I mean, let's go back to the threats on Justice Kavanaugh, the guy that was actually sitting down the street from his house with guns in the car to assassinate him, or the attack on the Republican baseball team.
Yeah.
You know, and the shootings, which, you know, just terrible, terrible events. And these are all issues that, you know, you see the violence against Trump supporters. You see, you know, you can't even walk around Seattle with a Trump hat on or you'd be abused. It's just intensity. But you can go through pretty much any Republican place or conservative place with a Biden hat. You're not going to worry too much about it.
Yeah.
It's been manipulative. It's increasing emotions. And it's inflaming violence for political ends.
Well, let me tell you something that happened to me that's good. Just yesterday, we were watching the Seattle Seahawks, New York Giants football game. Myself, two neighbors who were friends, one was a female, one was a male, started discussing what we had just seen on Meet the Press. And the female got up and walked out, left, and would not come back because she was so angry at us for not agreeing with the folks on Meet the Press yesterday. You know, when you lose friendships like that, whose fault is it?
Well, everybody's caught up in this emotion. And the unfortunate, you know, I had a little, you know, a point that was put out by someone on the blog this weekend. And, you know, there are people out there on both sides, you know, actually on no one's side, but on the right, on the left, in the middle, that really like to inflame people's fears.
And that's we're seeing going that on right now.
Yeah, we're seeing it constantly. The news is no longer about reporting accurate information. It's really about twisting information for a narrative.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate reality is the vast majority of the corporate entities, the corporate news outlets, the ones that people are used to and at one time somewhat trusted, are actually pushing a narrative, and they're hiding and covering things up. They're covering up information that would look negative to this administration. They're covering up information that would look negative to their ideologies, and they're actually protecting and encouraging some of this frustration and violence. Let's just talk about, you know,
I wouldn't call it frustration. I would call it almost open violence.
Well, it is. In some cases, there's no question there has been a tremendous amount of it. And
yeah.
You know, and it is spreading. The emotions and the frustration are spreading to actual crime, people's tensions and frustrations out in society. And of course, without authorities protecting individual rights and liberties and telling people to be quiet and silence them over their ideas and ideology, is actually now expanded to criminals feeling that they've got free rein to go ahead and attack people because their feelings are hurt, or because, as what happened on the subway, an 87-year-old man tells a couple to turn down their radio and they beat him. It's just constant. It's constant. And people, I think, are done with it. We'll see on November 8th, whether or not that's true. We just have 8 days away from a week from tomorrow.
Yeah. And I really don't know what's going to happen, Jim. I got to tell you, even Big Al is getting very upset about this.
There's a lot of reporting right now about conservatives being silenced, but because they've been silenced, they are actually silent. They don't want to be called out. They don't want to be attacked on social media. They don't want their neighbors to yell at them or scream at them, and they don't want people to know. So the concern from the Democrats and some people that are actually thinking about this is that silence is going to create a big turnout against it in the elections, something that they may not be able to stop, something they may not be able to corruptly control with their media outlets. The pushback, I think, is becoming real. We'll see if it is. If it's not, I think we're in trouble as a nation. We have been for a long time.
Yeah.
But this will be a very big test case.
Well, we have almost gotten to the point, as far as I'm concerned, where I'm just tempted to sit back and watch. I know how I'm going to vote. It's not going to affect my voting pattern, but I know I'm going to vote. But I'm getting sick and tired of getting so upset about all of this, Jim.
Well, I do think that there's some important things to understand here.
Yeah.
Know that you're being manipulated. And I made the comment that, people, in particular, a couple of websites that profit off of people's fears.
Sure. Sure.
That's a fact. That's not speculation. Some of it's accurate information, some of it's not, but bottom line is people are profiting off that.
Yeah.
And if you are shaped by a particular direction and you're always looking for that fear, it's almost a cathartic reason to continue. You know, you feel obligated to be looking at it, and it's really hard to look at the opposing side.
Yeah.
And when you stop looking at as much information as possible, or if you're too caught up in it, you get lost. And I think it does cause a lot of problems. You know, it causes emotional problems. It gets you frustrated, and then you give up.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us should give up.
No. It's pretty hard not to, though. I mean, it's quite frankly, it's causing emotional problems with me at this point in my life, and that makes me angry.
Yeah. And at best, best to step away and look at it as like, okay, what's affecting me each day right now? So, it's kind of like this whole thing with Paul Pelosi, which I think is worth talking about.
Okay.
The first reports came out, that there was, according to the police report and the scanner, there was somebody that opened the door, and Paul Pelosi and another guy were struggling over a hammer. This other guy, DePepe, whatever his name is, was standing there in underwear. And that the initial reporting from the chief of police was somebody opened the door, they witnessed this, and then this guy DePepe began hitting Paul Pelosi with a hammer.
Yeah.
So that first report is somebody opened the door, and then these two guys are standing there, would indicate there would be three people.
Right.
At least at a minimum in the room. We know that Nancy Pelosi, and it's her home, this is actually the number three in line to the presidency.
Yeah.
Capitol Police, Secret Service, there would be some level of security at her home.
One would think so.
You would think so. And if not, it's a very interesting situation that you would allow that, especially with all the violence going on and just regular crime around San Francisco.
Yeah.
So those two questions are kind of out there. The district attorney came out and said, oh, no, there was only two people in the house at the time. But the police chief actually said there were only two people involved. So right now, I think there's more to this story. We don't know the relationship. There's information being spread all over the place about Paul Pelosi's secret life behind the scenes and what's well-known secret, quote, in the community about his personal relationships. We do know that he was arrested recently for DUI. He had a woman in the car with him that was not Nancy. There's a lot of crazy things going on out there. The bottom line, this is what bothers me more than anything else. There was a time when newspapers, major media outlets would be scouring information to come up with what happened here.
They are doing nothing
but actually repeating the civil authorities' political statements in order to what appears to me to be covering up any questions that might put their entire narrative at stake. And that narrative is, oh, this is a MAGA guy that was attacking Paul Pelosi, when in fact, he was a BLM supporter. In fact, he was a drug addict. In fact, there's all kinds of information about him that shows that he was really not someone that would be on the Trump train, if you will. Yeah. However, he was incredibly frustrated with corporate corruption, with the media, the lies, according to some of these websites that are out there. And of course, we can't take any of this for granted because no one's actually doing thorough investigative reporting. And if they are, for the most part, they're being silenced.
Yeah.
So that's the problem right now. And this is important. And you hate to think that, okay, what happened to Paul Pelosi is that important to the nation. But what's important is the willingness for officials in the U.S. government and local officials to cover up events in order to protect their political masters.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is exactly like what happened in Chappaquiddick with Ted Kennedy when he ran from an accident, a young woman died, and an entire team of political operatives came up to bail him out.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what you see with these mistakes continuously, and no one is going to want to come up with the truth because it'll undermine, in my view, it'll be undermined the narrative that they pushed, the media has pushed out. They don't want to come up with the truth until after November 8th. And this is important because we're making decisions based on the future of this nation, based on the character of the people that are leading it.
Well, you know, you got questionable characters really involved in politics right now, and that's very sad to me. When I say questionable, I don't necessarily mean that in a negative manner, but there are so many stories out there. You really have to stop and think about what is actually germane to political leadership.
Exactly. And what's relative? Exactly, Al. What's relative?
Yeah.
What's going to make a good leader versus a bad leader?
Right.
Not what smears the two opposing sides can smear on everybody else to make them look bad.
Right.
And a lot of it is made up. And, if you have no moral code, if you have no moral, if you must win at all costs, and it doesn't matter which party, if you must win at all costs, you have no moral or ethical code, you'll do or say whatever you want in order to undermine people. And it's happened across the board. And you kind of hope that people are fed up with it. But I don't know. We've been living with it for a long time. Maybe with the amount of information out there on alternative news, alternative sites, you might be able to get more clarity.
But there's a big might in there. And that might, Jimmy, is the problem. And that is really a shame. This was a relatively short editorial, you guys, in the sense that it was only about 15 minutes. But I have to say it's probably one of the most important editorials that we have ever posted on this site. Jimmy, thanks for your input.
Hey, Al, I would like to follow up with something.
Okay.
And actually lengthen it, if you will, for just a couple more minutes. Because
sure.
This is, again, along these same lines. So True the Vote is an organization that was put together by Catherine Engelbreit and Greg Phillips.
Yeah.
True the Vote are the ones that have gone and done analysis based on the 2000 Mules movie that showed, you know, people going to multiple, you know, harvesting multiple sites to drop off voter information. The same data that the FBI used to track down people on January 6th that were involved in going inside the Capitol. So they have filed. They provided information that showed that an organization called Connect, which actually does voter software, was directly sending information back to Chinese servers.
Yeah.
Now, they were called out on this in this early information that comes from 2021, over a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And actually, the CEO of Connect, Eugene Yu, filed a defamation suit against them. So the federal judge that is hearing that defamation case in Texas, and the federal judge is Kenneth Hoyt, he filed contempt charges against Catherine Engelbreit and Greg Phillips for not divulging the source of the information about the data that they were looking at from Connect. The data showed direct linkage to this, to the Chinese government and to servers in China. And it shows that Eugene Yu had actually operated under the Chinese government and in coordination with some important Chinese officials.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on right now that really needs explanation.
But here's the part of this. So this judge just arrested the True the Vote people that provided this data. At the same time, Eugene Yu and Connect has been filed charges for doing exactly what they're filing the defamation suit against.
Yeah.
This is how corrupt our judicial system is right now. It is now in a court of criminal law that he was breaking the law, but the judge is still holding them accountable for saying that this was possibly defamatory.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense.
Well, there's a lot of things right now that are really questionable, and all I'm saying again is look at both sides of every story, make up your own mind. Let's hope that the information that you use when you make up your own mind is credible. Right, Jim?
That's right.
There you go. Jimmy, thanks again.
Okay, talk to you later.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.